Luke chapter 13, starting at verse 22. Then Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?" He said to them, "Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, 'Sir, open the door for us.' But he will answer, 'I do not know you and where you come from.' Then you will say, 'We ate and drank with you and you taught in our streets.' But he will reply, 'I know you, I do not know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers.' There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown out. People will come from east, west, north, and south, and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. Indeed, there are those who are last who will be first, and first who will be last."
I guess it would be rather cheeky of me to ask each of you your age. However, I do have a little exercise here that will help me find out your age. I'm going to ask you all 10 questions, and I want you to count the number of times you answer yes on your fingers. Now, I want you to count the ones that you can remember, not the ones you've been told about, the ones that you can actually remember. First one. Yeah. Oh, he's a bloke with an answer already. I don't think you know this first one, mate. Headlight dim switches on the floor of a vehicle. Remember the little button on the floor to dim the switches? I can remember that one. And you'd hit it again and it went back on high beam. How many of you can remember jukeboxes in milk bars and cafes where you put your sixpence in or your shilling in and select the tune you wanted? Not many hands going up, but I hope you're still counting anyway. That's the main thing. I've got two so far. How many of you can remember home delivery of milk in glass bottles? How many of you can remember party lines on the telephone? Me too. How many of you can remember newsreels at the movies? News around the world. I can remember going up here one day to the movies and we had the American president on the screen talking. Unheard of. I thought it was wonderful. Newsreels at the movie theatre. How many of you can remember test patterns on the TV at night after the program finished and probably went through the next morning? How many of you can remember the old long playing 33 records, you know, so big? How many of you can remember the metal ice block trays that had a lever on them? And you pull the lever back and all the cubes were released. One for the ladies, especially. How many of you can remember wash tubs with ringers on them? Wasn't that a marvelous invention? And the last one, how many of you can remember cars without blinkers? Right, just keep your score to yourself. I'll work through it now. This is where I put my theory, my little exercise into practice here. Georgia, how many did you score?
Two.
Wow, did well. Well, if you score between 0 and 2, my chart says you're still very young. For those of you who scored 3 and 4, well, you're still pretty young, but you're getting a little bit older. For those of you who scored 5 to 7, it's probably better if you don't tell anyone else your age. For those who scored 8 to 10, and I'm one of them, there'll be a few others here, I'd imagine, if they're honest. According to my chart here, this is not my words, this is the chart here that I have. If you score between 8 and 10, it says you are positively ancient. Now I've worked out all your ages, I'm quite happy. Yes, folks, as we look back at the last 40, 50, 60, 70 years, and some ladies here, you can go back further than that. There's been dramatic changes, hasn't there? Massive changes. Look at our households, our homes, the electrical appliances we have these days. TVs and videos and microwaves, touch phones, mobile phones, computers, and the list goes on and on. In my lifetime, I saw decimal currency come into action. And of course, metric weights and measures. Look at our vehicles today. Modern vehicles with press button everything you want to have. Press button entertainment, press button windows, heaters, air conditioned. Far cry from Phyllis's horse and cart. Look at our farm machinery. 30 years ago, 40 years ago, the average farm in area park probably had a 50 or 60 horsepower tractor with an 18 or 20 rows, 21 row scarifier behind it, cutting 8, 9, 10 feet. Today, farmers have 300 horsepower tractors, 400, 500, 600, you name it, pulling machines 50 and 60 and 70 feet wide. Massive changes. And society has changed too, hasn't it? It's changed in many ways, and I'm sure you'd all agree with me that not all of these changes have been for the better. Look at the various lifestyles we see today. Look at the language used in our community and in our country. Look at the lack of respect in our society. Look at the way people change rules to suit themselves. In a world that is floundering and staggering like a drunken man, Jesus Christ offers us stability and security. But many fail to see who Jesus is. Many fail to accept who Jesus is. We live in a spiritually bankrupt world. Many preachers today do not believe in the Bible. In a report from America some little time ago stated that there were over 4,000 churches closing every year in America. Look at the power structures around the world and how the power forces are moving from one country to another. And man's power is becoming so awesome, so fearsome. And we don't believe that man is capable and responsible enough to handle all of this power, to have all of this power at his fingertips. And folks, it's all these changes, these constant changes, that give people a feeling of anxiety, a feeling of uncertainty. What will happen next? The world is crying out. Yes, we cry out for something dependable to cling to. And many in our world offer us solutions. Many on this earth offer us solutions. There was a chappie called Tony Robbins. He was a financial advisor. And he wrote a book called Unshakable on how to handle finances. And many of his readers described him as a force of nature, as a superhuman. We don't hear him at all today. We've seen many like this. They've been here before. They come and they go. They're soon forgotten. Many turn to talkback radio shows and problem-solving TV programs to answer all their problems. But none of these have the complete solution. Well, in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 27, the writer speaks of those things which are unshakable, things that cannot be shaken remain. Things that cannot be shaken remain. He's thinking of the things that do not change and will not change. There's no need for us today to feel insecure or uneasy, because there are some very important things which we can confidently lean on in this unstable world. Let me remind you of just three of these this morning. The first of these is God's supremacy. Jeremiah tells us, the Lord made the earth by his power. By his wisdom, he created the world and stretched out the heavens. At his command, the waters above the sky roar. He brings clouds from the ends of the earth. He makes lightning flash in the rain and sends the wind from his storeroom. This is the great God who turns night into day, who sends the sun and the rain. This is the great God who brings the tides in and out every day. No one else can alter that. No one else can change that. This is the great God who led Abraham, the great God who raised Moses and prepared him to lead. This is the great God who chose Elijah, Elisha, and many other prophets to be the early messengers for him. And this is the God through his son demonstrated his power over sickness, over evil, over the spirits, and even over death. This same great God can be ours today. He does not change. Ever since creation, people and nations have sought to take over the world, this world that God himself made. Remember the Roman Empire, the biggest and most powerful force in the world for many, many years. Where is it today? Hitler was going to change the world and make the world the way he wanted it. Gone. Communism was a great force. It was going to be the way to live, so many people thought, but crumbling every day. The Jews, they decided to kill Jesus, thinking that would be the end, and then they would be free to live as they wanted to, make their own rules. But God reigned supreme. God is not only supreme, he is eternal. The Bible tells us the Lord is king forever. And Jeremiah reminds us that God is an everlasting king. Yes, this supreme God that we worship, that we sang about this morning, his reign will neither change nor end. The second unshakable is God's love. Paul was very familiar with the unsurpassable love of God. In his letter to the Romans, he wrote, we ask the question really, who then can separate us from the love of God? Then he goes on to answer his very own question. I'm certain, he says, that nothing, neither death nor life nor anything else in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is ours through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Back in the 18th century, there was a group of Christian peasants living on the coast of France. And they were being persecuted regularly for their beliefs. And as they stood before their persecutors one day, they said to them, "Yes, you can persecute us. You can destroy our churches. You can burn our homes. But while ever the stars shine in heaven, we will know that God still loves us." These people knew something of the unshakableness of God's love. In Isaiah, in chapter 54, we read these words, "Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken." How much clearer than that can it be? Even though the mountains be shaken, God's love for us will not be shaken. And of course, God's ultimate revelation of his love for his people was when Jesus died on the cross at Calvary, when Jesus chose a shocking death in place of punishment that we should have received. Never be afraid to hand over your fears or your concerns to the Lord. He wants to be all things to you, and he is dependable. With this great love for all his people comes the wonderful gift of forgiveness, covering all peoples, covering all sins. And yet so many continue to carry the burden of past sins. This takes away some of the inner peace that is available. Always remember, God's love for you will never fail you and will never leave you. God's love for you will never fail you and will never leave you. The third unshakable, unchangeable are the promises of God and his word. And they're all in here. The first is in Genesis, and the last is in the second last verse of Revelations. And between those two verses, there are over 2,000 promises that God made to his people. Some were made to individuals, and some were made to nations. Some have already been fulfilled. But none have ever been broken. Many of these promises apply to you and me, and there's no power here on earth or in heaven which can prevent our Lord from keeping every promise he has made to us. Solomon assures us, "There has not failed one word of all his good promises to us." Yes, they are unshakable. Different to the many earthly promises we experience today, and I'm sure you all have memories of broken promises from friends and family, from politicians, from banks and financial institutions, broken promises from warranties and guarantees, and the list goes on. Then we read the comforting words from Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8. "The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. And in Matthew chapter 4, we read, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Yes, down through the years, many have tried to brush aside and ignore the promises of God. Many have tried to change and distort the word of God, but they've all failed. Our God is unshakable and never changing. I believe the greatest promise of all was made by Jesus when he said, I will return. I will come again, to use the exact words. I will come again. That promise speaks to me of the end of the world. And associated with Christ's return will be a time of judgment. All, said Paul, must stand before the judgment seat of God. There'll be no absentees on that day. No one will be away. We'll all be there. And it is spelled out in Scripture as one of the unshakable things in the Lord's plan for his world. And for some, as our reading said this morning, it's going to be a terrible day for some, with weeping and gnashing of teeth, as people hear all their sins read out before everyone to hear. And many will claim that they've heard the name of Jesus. Many will claim they've heard about some of the great things he's done. But as Jesus walks through the crowd, he will not recognize them. And he'll say to them, as our Bible reading said this morning, I do not know you or where you come from. Away from me, you evildoers. Or on that day, it'll be a great day. It'll be a day of joy as Jesus comes amongst us and puts his hand on our shoulders and says, this one is guiltless. I paid for this one's sins on the cross. Yes, you can confidently place your trust in the promises of God. They are unshakable. It's always nice to know in advance of an event that is going to happen. It's always nice to know in advance if someone is coming to stay or visit us. That way we have time to prepare. And how often do we say, oh, if only I had a bit more notice. I think Slim Dusty warned us about that this morning. Well, folks, Jesus has told us. Jesus has promised us that he will return. And he's giving us time to prepare. So let me close this morning with a question. On that great day, when Jesus returns, as promised, will you be ready? Amen.